Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope you're having a good New Year so far. This past December, while spending the holidays with my extended family, many of my family are either current or retired university professors or teachers. The online responses of a lot of the Christian community to the death of Christopher Hitchens, which took place on December 15th, 2011, were a lot of those responses were painfully brought to my attention. This week I want to talk about that for a little bit in connection with Luke 6, verses 37 and 38. The one that takes the cake, though, was Brian Fisher's. Fisher gained notoriety back in 2004 when he founded the Keep the Commandments Coalition. The purpose for this coalition was to work in keeping a monument of the Ten Commandments in the Julia Davis Park in Boise, Idaho. And I want to be careful not to disparage Fisher here either, because each of us is coming from our own set of dysfunctions, our own life tragedies, whatever experiences we're coming out of. And we can't forget that God gave up all, even for Brian Fisher, which is to say to me that in God's eyes, Fisher and Hitch, too, for that matter, are of inestimable worth. They were worth, according to God, him giving up everything for. However, Fisher's public response to Hitch's death is a classic example of the spirit that I really want to talk about in this week's podcast. If you can stomach the whole response, you can find Fisher's comments on YouTube. But the line that's gotten so much publicity is, if Hitchens is in hell right now, he's there because God loves him. And the question that one of my family members asked me was, how does eternally tormenting someone for not believing in your existence and standing up for the abuse of people in the name of religion, how is that a byproduct of being loved by some supreme being? And I have to admit that I was severely saddened. I believe that if any are lost at last, it will be because God honors their freedom of choice. No loving God would find any joy in someone being forced to be with him. However, as I shared with my family member, I do not share a belief in Christianity's traditional definition of hell. I don't think it's a secret that at Renewed Heart Ministries, we hold the belief that if any are lost in the end, we find more evidence in the scriptures that suggests that these will just simply be as if they never were. You can find that in Obadiah 1:16. We don't subscribe to the Middle Ages idea of eternal torment. And if you want more information on this, you can check out the presentation on our website, Love's Eternal Flame. And that's at www.renewedheartministries.com under the Sermon Library. But this is a tangent. What I want to focus on this week, what I want to focus our attention on, is the spirit in which Christianity, and praise God for the few exceptions, but the spirit in which Christianity is currently responding to what it considers its enemies. Take a quick look at Jesus' words in the 6th chapter of Luke. He says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by whatever standard you measure, it will be measured to you in return." What Jesus here is saying, in my opinion, is that regardless of the manner in which you relate to others, they will respond to you in kind. Turn Jesus' words around here and look at what he's actually saying. If you're judgmental of others, others will be judgmental of you. If you possess a spirit of condemnation toward those who are not like you, they will also condemn you. If you feel that you are morally superior to them, they will respond by feeling that they are intellectually superior to you. Whatever you set in motion towards others will come back on yourself. As I look at the overview of history since Jesus, and I'll be the first to admit that this may be a tad bit oversimplified, but Christianity has not always followed the teachings of Jesus. We carry his name, but our actions very often don't resemble his, especially when it comes to those who don't believe what we do. I think that Voltaire's famous statement in his Critique of Christianity would be applicable here too. He said, "Of all religions, Christianity is without a doubt the one that should inspire tolerance the most, although up till now, the Christians have been the most intolerant of all men." What I want you to consider this week is the following questions. Could the philosophies of our day, the naturalistic worldview, the neo-atheism, the evolutionary philosophy that rejects even a hint of any intellectual design, postmodern secularism, all these philosophies, could they possibly exist because of our own embracing of an inaccurate picture of God? and portraying that wrong picture to the world through our failure to follow Jesus' teachings on love and the way we relate to others. The Church of the Middle Ages was so antithetical to the God that Jesus revealed that today all these philosophies, in my estimation, are simply the backlash, the response of honest people who want to have nothing to do with a God who is the kind of person that Christian history has portrayed him to be. Some of you may be saying, okay, fine. That's fine for the Middle Ages. I agree with you there, but that was those Catholics back then. We're Protestants. We're different. But are we as American Protestants innocent? Are we really that different? Haven't we too embraced a very different picture of God, a tribal picture of God, a violent picture of God? For the most part, as American Christians, in my opinion, we have embraced a picture of God that is almost opposite at times to what Jesus actually taught. Are we too, in our own way, failing to embrace the picture of God that Jesus came to reveal? Are we too failing to relate to those who believe differently from us with the same radical, self-sacrificial, other-centered love that Jesus died to teach us? When I read Hitch's work, Christopher Hitchens, the stuff that he wrote, and when I watch some of his presentations, I do. I see the hostility, I see the anger, the controversial bluntness that he was famous for, but I also see someone who was wounded just like the rest of us. What I also notice is that many of the reasons for which Hitch rejected a belief in God were the very misplaced values that Jesus himself also opposed, and Jesus was God. This makes me stop and simply say that there's a possibility that Hitch was closer to the kingdom in some of his opinions and thinking than many of us are willing to admit. If what Jesus taught has any bearing, then we too have a moral responsibility to oppose the tyrannical representation of God. But I want to add to this that our opposition must be done in the same way that Jesus taught us. We must overcome evil with good, violence with love, and anger with peace. It may take God a millennium to help Hitch sort out the difference between the religious abuses of our Earth's history and the truth about his character of love. But in the end, everyone, Hitch included, will be faced with one decision and one decision only. Do they want to live not a life of religion, but a life of love? When all the ugliness has been stripped away, when God and his beauty are actually seen, we may be surprised by whom we actually spend eternity as neighbors to. During this new year, may we strive to be more like Jesus to this world. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, mimic God, and as children who are loved, live the life of love. Happy New Year to each one of you. I love you guys. Keep building the kingdom. We'll see you next week.